It's All Night Jazz and something real special tonight. I'm Bob Seymour, and joining me tonight, Byron Stripling, who is in town for the Pops Concerts with the Sarasota Orchestra this weekend, and pianist Kenny Drew Jr. So glad to welcome you both to All Night Jazz.
Thanks for having us. Tonight. And I want to let your audience know that before we were talking, your voice is really high. And then when you go on air, you go, hello, and all of a sudden you get really low. But
you're,
really,
you're not supposed
talking,
to give that
yeah,
away.
You were talking like Mickey Mouse before we came on, man.
Now they all know.
Yeah.
Well, welcome, Byron. It's great to have you here.
Yeah, pleasure.
And Kenny.
It's great to be here.
Yeah. We're looking forward to this. Audiences are looking forward to the concert. You've done the Pops thing in our area in the past, and you've done it all over the world with orchestras.
Yeah, I mean, you got to travel. Woody Herman used to say you got to travel because they get tired of you at home.
Right.
Right?
Well, you do. You came in from Columbus. Well, I want to get into that later, but you Columbus is home where you've
right.
got a great band.
I was in Memphis
orchestra.
Last week.
Is that right?
Playing with them, yeah. So
the orchestra?
Yeah. So we got to keep moving. Kenny and I know that.
Uh-huh. Some audiences first got to know you in the role of Louis Armstrong.
This is back in 1988. That's a long time ago. We did a show called Satchmo, America's Musical Legend. And it was produced by a guy from this area, right in Sarasota, Kenneth Fell.
Huh.
And Kenneth is the owner of Ringling Brothers Barnum & Bailey Circus, also Walt Disney on Ice and so many things like that. And so he always was a Louis Armstrong fan, and he gave me the opportunity to portray him on stage. And here I sit after all that doing a shows about Louis Armstrong and other people, too, which we can talk about later.
That's the theme for this week's Pops Concert?
Yeah, it's actually called Satchmo, Fats, and the Duke. And people have often said to me, well, we know Satchmo when you say, and we know the Duke, that's Duke Ellington, when they say Fats, are they talking about me? Because I didn't think that
Fats
was
Domino.
Funny. You know, it could be Fats Domino. You know, I found my thrill. But actually, it's Fats Waller. And so we're saluting three giants of American music. You know?
And so you did a number, that show became a Broadway musical. You did a lot of, you opened in New Orleans?
We opened in New Orleans. Then we went to North Carolina, Atlanta, the Kennedy Center for 6 weeks. And then we did Boston. And after Boston, we never made it to Broadway because Boston's a tough town. You play your best song in Boston and they just give you one clap.
You must have been not long out of the Eastman School at that time, out of college.
Yeah, I was probably 4 or 5 years out of school.
Yeah.
I was playing with Count Basie's band at the time, so they pulled me out of there and I did that.
I want to hear you play pretty quick, but
yeah, I want to play.
All right.
My lips is hurting. I need to play.
Let's pick up your biography in a minute and hear some music. What do you guys want to start
Maybe
with?
Maybe we should play something like Pennies from Heaven. You know, Louis Armstrong used to play this one. I used he did it a little slower. I like to put a little clip on it. But I always remember as a kid hearing this, and one of his favorite trumpet players was Bobby Hackett. Do you remember Bobby Hackett?
Yeah.
So Bobby used to play behind him on cornet and play the most beautiful fills. So we're going to play this for the fans of Louis Armstrong, and this is Pennies from Heaven.
Thank you. every time it rains pennies from heaven. Don't you know each cloud contains pennies from heaven? You'll find your fortune falling all over the town. Just be sure that your umbrella is upside down. Babe, trade them for a package of sunshine and flowers. And now if you want for things you love, you know you gotta have showers. And when you hear it thunder, don't run under a tree. There'll be pennies from heaven for you and me. Yeah, there'll be pennies from heaven for you and me.
Oh, yeah, on the end, because that's Louis Armstrong.
That sure is.
Oh, yeah.
And you've got the look as well as the sound. No wonder
well,
they gave
you
that
role. I can curl my lips a little bit like Louis,
What sweet sounds from two virtuoso musicians tonight here on WUSF 89.7. We are so happy to have Byron Stripling and Kenny Drew Jr. making music with us for a little while, and audiences in the Van Wezel are in for a treat with the Sarasota Orchestra Pops Concert.
And that's this Friday and Saturday, right? What days are? Is that the 28th and the
28th and 9th, that's right.
See, Friday, I'm not Saturday. Good with dates. If they don't tell me where to go, I don't know where to go.
You need to check your website, and wherever it says you're supposed to be.
No, in case of the Van Wezel, I just look for anything that's purple. I just keep walking until I see something that's big and purple, and then I know that's my gig.
It's easy to find.
Yeah, you can't miss that purple, baby.
And we welcome you back to our area. You've done some Florida Orchestra Pops, too, with Carmen Bradford the past couple of years.
Kenny and I were just in, or was it, where was that?
Orlando.
Orlando. We just played with the Orlando Symphony. And that was a little different show. That was totally a Louis Armstrong show.
Oh, okay.
We played it. We did like a house party after that. We played at a good friend's house, which was always fun to do something like that. So I've been a fun. Now I was in Naples in the beginning of the year. So I've seen you a lot, Kenny.
Yeah.
And I'm sick of you.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
But I'm not sick of Florida, though, because, you know, I live in Ohio.
Uh-huh.
And in Ohio,
how's the winter been?
Well, you don't even ask that, Kevin. Well, I tell you, it's been so cold. When you get mad when it goes out, that's when you walk outside and you just get mad. Like I've been sleeping with my fist balled up because I'm so mad at how cold it is.
That's a bad sign,
you know. But my wife sleeps with her fist balled up too. But I don't think it's because it's cold. Because I wake up bruised and stuff, you know. You had a woman like that one time, Kenny, and you were always bruised, you know.
That's right. As our audiences know, Kenny Drew Jr. makes his home right here. And Columbus, you are in charge of what I hear is a great band.
Yeah,
that's the Columbus Jazz Orchestra.
Yeah, that's the orchestra that's been around for 40-some years. I've been there for 10 years as their artistic director.
And you work a lot, right?
Thank you very much.
With that band.
You got a gig for me?
I mean, with orchestras all over the world, but I understand the Columbus Jazz Orchestra stays pretty busy.
Yeah. Yeah, like we'll go next week or in 2 weeks. I got a concert called Trumpet Summit with the great Sean Jones. Do you know Sean Jones?
Oh, yeah.
So he's one of the greats, and so we'll have him. We just finished a show last month of Benny Goodman Music because, you know, it's the 75th anniversary of the Carnegie Hall concert.
Oh, yeah.
So your listeners being jazz lovers will appreciate that.
Yeah. So Sean Jones together, my goodness, the walls would blow down.
But you know I'm so much prettier than Sean. I mean, really, I'm just downright pretty when you come think about it. I mean, tell them. I mean, I'm on the radio now, but tell them how pretty I am.
It's just too bad it's radio.
That's what I'm saying. So nobody can compete with my pretty, but he can play. Sean Jones is killing.
And Ken Peplowski's on that, you say?
He was on the Benny Goodman. You're not listening.
Oh, sure.
He was on the Benny Goodman.
Well, that's the right guy for the Goodman thing, yeah. That's for sure.
No, he can do that. He can do that. So.
One of my all-time favorite musicians, I think, was real instrumental in your early days when you were at Eastman as a classical major, but I revere nobody more than Clark Terry. And
ooh.
It seems like Clark...
Ooh.
Made a big difference in your life, didn't he?
Oh, man. Clark Terry. Well, you know, the way this guy got sounds out of his horn, it really sounded like somebody was talking to you.
Mm.
You know,
yeah.
And that's even when I play, you know, I'm not really like an impressionist when I play Louis Armstrong. I'm doing my own thing. But the way that Clark could talk through that trumpet, I mean, he would sometimes play his mouthpiece and it would sound great.
Yep.
But he had a fun thing he used to do. And you heard him mumble.
Oh, yeah.
But that was, you know, can we mumble a little bit? Can you give me something like in B-flat blues? So freely hit this split, the hang up a hop, the hobo to be the home. We start about to flip, to flap, to flip up. The horn is rolling, so it's playing the Hebo on Louis. Yeah, and I split Lubabu to thee. And I splang dang hang dang splicker on Louis.
Now give me a little stop time.
Well, I flip the flap the flipper. And then I splack the splock dip, and I wang dang a spling the hung the wang a spling a woof web to free how yeah. Ooh. And I splang the king ding spling the hing the hinging a bob to the hoodie. Who doodle do him to hear do 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 him the hung. The spling the hing the oodle oodle spilly that lubab shawang the egot the ginga the spilly that lubab shabang the oogot the splung the hung the hang hoo 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 hoo. And then the only thing you can understand is oh yeah. So, and you know where he got that from? Joe Turner. You ever heard the blues singer,
yeah.
Joe Turner? And he said he used to listen to Joe and he never understood what he was saying. So, you know, that was his inspiration for him. But if you think about blues singers, it happens a lot. You don't know what they're saying.
And Clark came up in St. Louis with all those places, the blues singers the world didn't get to know down along the river joints. And, well, that does a heart good to hear mumbles.
Yeah. Yes, sir. He's one of the great inspirations of my life. I got to tour with him in the 70s. Did you ever play with Clark, Kenny?
No.
Well, you should have, and you should be ashamed of yourself. You know.
He continues. He's been through a lot. He's 93 now. He can. I still glance once in a while at the guest book at his website. It's
yep.
full of love, and he's incredible. So you were a classical trumpet major. We're glad you came in the jazz direction, and Clark told you not to bother graduating from college.
Well, that's because he called me. He wanted me in his band, you know. So he said, "Why don't you come on with me and play in my band?" And we went. First thing we did is we went on a 6-week tour of Europe, and that's where I got transported to how people love jazz in Europe. And you know why I think it is? I've been thinking about this. I think it's when they see us improvise, they always used to, you know, like we come into the studio here. I'll tell you a quick story. When we were trying to get this to come to play with you, you know, people say, well, let's just get you a piano player. Well, I just can't have any piano player. I got to have
sure.
Kenny Drew Jr.
There you go.
You know, one of the best in the world. And then we speak the same language. Like we didn't have a rehearsal or anything. We just know what to play. But there's... You don't see any music up here. We just try to figure out what we do. That's what people in Europe, I really, the fact that we were getting on stage and it was different all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And we were improvising and doing our own thing. Like you, the way that you heard Clark Terry sing, the way you heard Louis Armstrong sing, the way you hear somebody like Mahalia Jackson sing, That's with a non-European concept of sound. You know, before Louis Armstrong, people always said, Bon Chiffoni, you know, and just like all this kind of stuff, you know. And that was like the concept of sound that people sang with. And Louis Armstrong came along and said, yeah. Now, if you would have sang like that normally in a choir or something, they'd say, well, man, maybe you should sit in the back. But Louis Armstrong stood front and center, and he offered his unique gifts. So really what we learn from jazz is that you take whatever your God-given talent is and you exploit that. And that's what Louis Armstrong did. Well, that's what America's all about. So maybe they heard the sound of democracy, right, when we played for them over in Europe. Because you can ask Kenny, you go to a European audience and the response is totally different. It's like they really care. It's like I think sometimes in here people take for granted over in this country, like, you know, the greatness and the glory of jazz, but it could only have been born in America, and it could only have been born with that spirit of democracy, which means that on the bandstand you do and you play what you feel, how you feel it, and if your tone is not like the next guy, that's something to be proud of. That's something to exploit.
Right. Yes. Well put. I think people do tend to overlook how much Armstrong really was. There was nothing like that before. And we know, people know his trumpet playing, but as a vocalist, he set the standard.
Yeah, but the trumpet playing was very similar to the vocal. Yeah. For instance, if I play like a little thing, if I say, you hear that little shake I put on the end? You like a little vibrato? Well, he's doing the same thing when he sings. So, now the pale moon shining, right? The same, but on the fields below, right? So really his vocal is the same as his trumpet playing. And the trumpet player probably came first, so he's really imitating jazz instrumentally, which a lot of singers don't realize. They just think they need to do their singer thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of a dual thing. Musicians who play instruments, we need to imitate singers more and get that vocal sound within our sound. And jazz instrumentalists, and I think all instrumentalists, need to get that feeling of what an instrumentalist sounds like.
Yeah.
Louis Armstrong was the ultimate in that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And as you say, I've always been knocked out, and it never fails to amaze me, hearing musicians who come together, who just speak the same language, and who everyone in the audience would assume is a working band. And here, you and Kenny know each other, but haven't seen each other in a few months, and a few months before that, but...
That's commonality of language.
Yep.
You know, like, can we play one now for you?
Please.
Do you know, can we do Don't Mean a Thing? He doesn't know that language.
No? Yeah, what key?
How about G minor? And we'll see. This is Duke. So, you know, the show's called Satchmo, Fats, and the Duke.
This is the Sarasota Orchestra Pops this weekend.
And you've got the dates memorized now, the 28th and 29th. Is that right?
I just call them Friday and Saturday.
That's easier, I guess. So I'm going to forget about dates for the rest of this conversation.
It's easier than numbers, yeah.
So we're going to do one that Duke wrote. And this is Don't Mean a Thing if it ain't got this thing. By the way, if we do this... And you don't recognize it as we play it, you should be ashamed of yourself. Okay. I'm talking to your audience, but I think they all know it. You want to give me a little intro or should we just hit it? Give me one of those Kenny Drew intros that nobody else can do. Start with the Greek piano concerto. Spling, ding, ding, ding.
Really?
You can start with whatever you want. It's your intro. It's a free country.
Thank you. I don't mean a thing. All you gotta do is swing. Do I 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 do I. It makes no difference if it's sweet or hot. Yeah, give that rhythm everything, everything you got. I don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing. Do I 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 do I
Our guests, Byron Stripling and Kenny Drew Jr. here on WUSF 89.7. I think that's true. It don't mean a thing.
Yeah, can you imagine going to a concert where nothing swung? I'd be sleeping.
I think it's happened. have you considered in your performances loosening up and having fun a little more?
You know, but if I don't have fun, that's just who I am. I have to do that because I'm just a fool.
With a beautiful sound on trumpet.
Oh, thank you.
It's really a pleasure to hear you.
Look, it's that Clark Terry influence. And you know what? We just did Duke Ellington, and again, the show on, as you term, Friday and Saturday, which is actually the 28th and 29th.
I think that's right.
In Sarasota. You have to go all the way to Sarasota and look for purple. That's all I can tell you. Just drive until you see purple. And then when you see purple, just stop and park your car wherever you are and then walk because it's going to be sold out. But you can find it. So just look for purple. But what were we talking about? Duke Ellington. That was a Duke. We're going to do, you know, Louis, mm-hmm. Duke Ellington, Fats Waller. Classic. That was classic Duke Ellington.
And including the Grieg concerto intro.
Well, Kenny Drew Jr. can do anything.
I know that's right.
You know, I first heard Kenny, and one of our first gigs, I think, was the Carnegie Hall Jazz Band.
Yeah.
Remember that? We were playing in Carnegie Hall, and they had the nerve. We did a battle of the bands I'm not going to say nothing, but I'm just saying the other band.
Oh, come on. Lincoln Center?
Saying no names. You're trying to look. You're what you call that? Provoking me.
Instigator.
You're instigator. You know. So you like my ex-wife, man. So because she would make you fight. So you can one of them kind of cats, you know. So they had when Kenny Drew is on the stage. You don't need another piano player. I would have just canceled if I was who's playing piano in the other band. Kenny Drew, I'm gone. That's what I would have done immediately. So they had the nerve. So I feel sorry for other piano players that have to sit next to you because it's embarrassing for them. You know, you don't feel that.
Well, I think that night the pianist with the
you don't need
the
to name
other
any names. No names.
No, he's an excellent pianist too.
But no names.
No names.
No name. Okay. Let's call him that one. that one. No, I'm not discounting him. I'm just elevating you. Ooh, that was good. I should run for governor of Florida.
Believe me.
I remember something funny about that Battle of the Bands concert because both bands were on stage at the same time. So where the piano was, I'm like directly in front of the band. in front of all the horns.
Right.
And I...
You couldn't
hear
it.
That's the only time that I've ever set up that way.
Right.
So as soon as we started rehearsing, I immediately asked for earplugs.
Right, you have to.
Because I had, 15 well,
each,
horns.
Yeah, each band had
blowing
like 60,
right
yeah.
into my ear.
Yeah. You have to do that. That's not a pleasant feeling.
And I'm usual big band setup, I'm on the other side.
Right.
I'm,
that was
I'm,
the concert
I'm
where
insulated
your ears were bleeding, I think. I saw blood coming out of your ears.
Probably.
Through the cotton that you had in there.
Was that the band John Faddis led?
The Carnegie Hall band was, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not the other
band. The other band was the Guy Lombardo band. See, now I know that there are people laughing in your audience because they know who that is. But Rebecca in the booth there, who's from the orchestra, she's about 3 years old. She has no idea who Guy Lombardo is. And she's going to ask me when we get in the car, who's the lumbago?
Yeah, right.
Who's the guy with the bagels? You know,
you could look it up.
Look at Google it, Rebecca.
We are with Byron Stripling and Kenny Drew Jr. Byron, you've worked with, you continue to work with so many of the greats on your records. Maybe we'll get to one in a few minutes, but we do get to them. And you record with great sidemen, of course. But Byron came through the bands of Lionel Hampton real early on.
Lionel Hampton was a cat that got me thinking more about Louis Armstrong.
Is that right?
Yeah, because he...
Well, he had that connection.
You know, he did the first Vibe recording of was on Memories of You with Louis Armstrong.
Mm-hmm.
There's a pair of Vibes in the studio, just like a studio. By the way, your audience should know this is a nice studio here.
It is nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
Thank you.
And if you had
Thanks
Vibes
to our
here,
listeners.
I would play them, even though I don't play them. No, but that's what happened to him. And Louis said, hey, why don't you play those things
And
over
nobody
there?
Knew that instrument. It was the...
One of the first things, you know.
So what did Hamp teach you?
Well, Hamp said... Hey, man, I used to play Louis Armstrong. Let's do a tune every night, a small group tune. He said, let's do When You're Smiling. He says, and when you get to that last note, Hamp loved high notes. You have to make that note seem like it's the highest note in the world. It was like what I think he was trying to get to me was the intensity with which Louis Armstrong played. And that's always stayed with me that when you play an instrument, the goal is to, because, you know, Louis always said, I'm here in the cause of happiness, right? So you have the power through what you play on your instrument to uplift people. That's really why we're here. I think, you know, when you walk into the theater, and that's going to be our goal on Friday and Saturday, which I think is the 28th and the 29th in the Purple Building. Anyway, in Van Wezel in Sarasota, when you play, would you stop laughing, Kenny? I'm trying to pontificate here. Yeah. In fact, I think I just pontificated all over myself, but I think, where was I? No, we're trying to uplift people. So when we go into the theater, somebody comes to our concerts, I think the goal is to, remember that song, Forget Your Troubles, Come On, Get Happy?
Yep.
That's the goal of artists when we come in. So you forget all about politics. You forget about the fact that your wife sleeps with her fist balled up, and you forget all of these things, and you uplift people through the power of music, which is, you know, we were just talking, Rebecca and I come in, like the Sarasota Symphony has programs that they do for kids. And I know this, and maybe Kenny can speak to it, but I know that music saved my life because I had nothing else. I mean, I wasn't smart. I was actually ridiculed for, like, they said, hey, everybody bring in their favorite record. And I brought in a Roy Eldridge record. And everybody's like, what is this? Where's Michael Jackson? And I dug Michael Jackson, but at the time I was listening to Roy Eldridge and Dizzy. And the kids were like laughing at me.
Wow.
But I didn't care because I loved the music so much. And it really saved my... I mean, do you feel that music... Now I'm doing the interview. Do you feel that music saved your life? I mean, do you mind if I ask one question?
Please.
You should ask him, and then it'll be like you. So go ahead.
Kenny, let me ask you something. Do you feel you feel that music saved your life? He's thinking about it.
I don't. He's going to get back to us on it.
I guess I'll have to answer yes.
Okay. So you would have rather been a stockbroker? Yes.
I don't know. Considering the amount of money that stockbrokers make.
Depends on the stockbroker.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
or how
true.
Honest they are.
Could I be a stockbroker and be an amateur musician and play like gigs on the weekends?
Well, that's kind of I'm an amateur brain surgeon.
There you go. Well, you do spread happiness with your music.
Oh.
And I'm curious, before I forget, do you know Terry Teachout's book and new play on that's just opened?
Something about the Waldorf, right? Is the name of
Satchmo at the Waldorf.
Right, yeah.
Getting good reviews, and it's in New York now. And
I've got to tell you my favorite Louis Armstrong book came out after Terry's book.
Oh.
Ricky Riccardi, I think his name is.
I've seen great notices
what a
about
wonderful,
that.
I want you to read. You know how reading can, we just talk about how music changed your life. Reading can change your life. You read that book and it'll change your life.
Wow.
Give you a different idea. So I encourage everybody. It's called What a Wonderful World by Ricky Riccardi, I think is his last name. If you got a Kindle, go download it now. It will change your life.
How about a Fats
what'd you call me?
Tune?
No, I mean, we're starting already with this. It's Fats Waller and it's not Fats Stripling.
I got confused.
You got mixed up.
Yeah.
I'm going to work on my weight. If anybody knows of a good diet, please call in and let me know. And probably somebody's going to call in with the cabbage soup diet or something. How about if we do an F honeysuckle rose? All right.
Thank you.
Honeysuckle Rose.
Said what?
What beautiful playing here live in our studio. This is WUSF 89.7. You're making us sound real good. Byron Stripling.
No, we got, is it Dustin or Rustin?
Dustin's our man on the board.
Rustin Dustin. That's your new name. Dustin is making us sound good.
Well, he's, yeah. He's,
he put and, lots of reverb on. Make me sound, can you make me sound like Isaac Hayes? I ain't only talking about Shaft. Yeah.
There you went.
Yeah. Yeah, baby. Can you hear me? Can you feel that? Oh, mama. Yeah. I'm talking about Shaft, honey. Who's the man that won't run out? Who's the one? Shaft. Just can like, you dig it?
Just like you rehearsed it. Byron Stripling and Kenny Drew Jr.
This is the first time on this station that we've gone that far in musical history. I want you to know that.
It's been a little while.
I did a record date one time with Shaft.
Did you?
I'm with Shaft. With Isaac Hayes.
Oh.
Well, he's also a Shaft.
Oh, cool.
And we walked in the session and there was no music. This whole thing. Remember we were talking about no music? So many groups. And I'm like, and back then I could read too. I was living in New York playing studios. I could read anything. I wasn't scared of nothing. And there was no music. And Isaac would just tell us what to play. He said, now when we get to this part, listen to this tape. When you get to that part, say, bam! I was like, well, Isaac, is there a note you want me to play? No, just say, bam! I had the same thing when I worked with, who's it? Big Daddy Kane. Remember Big Daddy Kane was one of, you don't remember Big Daddy Kane? He was one of the great rappers from the in the beginning of the thing.
You and mean there are great rappers?
Yes, there are. You know who's a good is the kid. There's a lot of good ones. But Big Daddy Kane was one of the first, and he did the same thing. He said, man, and you know who else was on? It was me and Josh Redman.
Yeah.
Were the two horns on the session. Somehow we ended up on a rap session, and Big Daddy Kane did the same thing. He said, can you play this? Ooh, super da la ba. And we played it back, and he thought we were geniuses. He didn't know anybody could do that. You know? I said, man, y'all just did what I said. I said, yeah, man, that's what we do. And that was that's what all we did. We went, boo, ba ba da la ba. And I said, man, that's amazing. Now loop that. You know what I mean? And then we went home and collected $3,000.
The residuals, I hope, are still coming in. From
oh, yeah. I'm looking at my mailbox when I go home.
Big Daddy Kane. Isaac Hayes, I saw Isaac Hayes once perform.
Wait a minute. How did we get from Isaac Hayes to Fats Waller? But go ahead.
I'm not sure. At the Church of Scientology here, the headquarters with the band, and a full-blown production of Shaft with a band including Chick Corea and Mark Isham, and it was a full-blown production number with lights, and it was really something. Wow. We're talking with Byron Stripling and Kenny Drew Jr. You are just of an age.
Don't give it away.
You came up just in time to know and work with guys who had who I know were so instrumental. We mentioned working with Lionel Hampton's band. And Basie with the Thad Jones, Frank mm-hmm. Foster editions of the Basie Band, Woody Herman, Louis Belson, Buck Clayton. Were there a particular trumpet player or a few who were really who you worked with in those days who were really instrumental in teaching you?
Well, Buck
about
Clayton.
The music?
I mean, Buck Clayton was a good one. If people don't know him, Buck Clayton was one of the original members of the Count Basie Band, and he played that famous solo that everybody knows on 1 o'clock jump. You know, certain solos become part of the song. It's so classic. So Buck was one of those people. Just, you know, when you have older people like that take you under their wing, it begins to become for them, and I'm beginning to be of that age myself, where it's almost like responsibility. Uh-huh. And we call it sometimes missionary work. We know that we want the music to continue. So if we see somebody that's promising, it's not about money or anything. It's about like, hey, let me take you aside here and show you what I can. Here's my phone number. Call me if you ever need anything, from business things to musical things. And I found that all the old musicians were like that to me, particularly people like Clark Terry. Buck Clayton, I was always up in Buck Clayton's house just hanging out with him. I just wanted to be in his presence. Sometimes it wasn't what guys said to you. It was the fact that they wanted you around and that you were in their presence. And there was something about their spirit that rubbed off on you. You know, and then sometimes there were direct musical lessons. I'll tell you a quick one. I don't know if Kenny was on the band. We used to play the band called the Jazz Masters, and Slide Hampton was the leader. And some of the people in there were like James Moody and Jimmy Heath and Steve Turay, and Roy Hargrove would be there, and Louis Nash. Kenny would be playing piano, George Mraz on bass. And I was more of trained as a lead trumpet player, first trumpet player. And one night we had a chart. You might have left the band by then. He had written a chart on giant steps, which is a very hard technical thing to play. Especially as a jazz player, you really work on that a lot. And Slide's idea of jazz is that anytime I point to you in this band, we had three trumpets, three bones, three saxes, bass, piano, drums. If I point to you for a solo, you play the solo. And he pointed to me to play on giant steps, and I went, oh, not me. Not I. Too good for that, no. And then he got really bugged at me. Like, he goes, on this band, this is the jazz band, everybody plays on whatever tune it is. I don't care what chair you're playing. So it was those kind of lessons that you learned, although I still can't play the tune very well. But it's those were the kind of lessons that I took with me, that the musicianship was important. And the older guys always talked about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've seen that over the years with that generation and your generation and guys like you. Certainly spread the lessons. I know teaching is a big part of what you do. And I want to get to, you're working with the orchestra this weekend, and Byron Stripling has worked with...
You know that's on the 28th and 29th, right?
That's this weekend?
Yeah, what days would that be? I know you don't do numbers.
Once the work week is over.
An aversion to math or something?
No, I just...
The numbers don't do it for you.
Can't keep track. So I'm thinking Friday and Saturday at the Van Wezel, Byron Stripling with the Sarasota Orchestra. Our thanks to our friends at the Sarasota Orchestra for making this happen here in our studio tonight. You just flew in today from Ohio, and Kenny made the trip across the bay, and...
And you know who made this happen was Rebecca.
That's right.
Sing a little song about how much time do we have? We have to go?
Oh, we're cool for a little bit.
Give me a little blues.
We're going until 1 in the morning.
And so B flat. Cool. Give me some blues in B flat. This is about Rebecca. 2, 3, 4. I said to my gal the other morning, I said, Rebecca, please get your big legs off of me. I said, Rebecca. Her name was Rebecca. Please get your big legs off of me. Well, it may be pleasing to you, honey, but you're crushing the heck out of me. Oh, yeah. So that was my little song for Rebecca.
With whom you have to drive.
No, she said, I'm getting another ride now. Find a car. This is what always happens with me with women. No, I can't keep them. And they all end up with the fist balled up. Rebecca drove the whole way with one fist like this and the other one on the wheel, ready to pop me upside my head in any moment.
And she didn't even know you that well
yet. She didn't. It must be something about the way I look, you know?
Byron Stripling's with us. You can see on our Facebook page how he looks, and maybe we'll post...
You know what? The pictures are pretty, but I'm ugly in person.
Yeah, well...
But the pictures, because, you know, makeup is killing, you know, and you get love. What do they call that? Photoshop?
Photoshop, yes.
They Photoshop me, man, and they put my hair is all nice and long. You know, I look like Billy D. Williams and Will Smith put together, you know? You don't remember Billy D. Williams.
Of course I do.
You showing your age.
Two very good-looking musicians tonight with us here in the studio. Don't pay any attention to what they say. Hey, you did some film work over the years, too, including a couple of things, at least a couple, with a good friend of ours and a WUSF. Dick Hyman has had you on some things.
Dick Hyman. I love Dick Hyman. He was my employer in New York for many years.
Is that
for
right?
So many things, yeah. He was working at the 92nd Street Y. They have a jazz thing there. And then he was working on all these Woody Allen movies.
Right. He's done a dozen or more.
Yeah. So he would always call me to play on those, you know. And Woody was like, you know, was similar. And sometimes working with Isaac Hayes, Dick would sometimes just come in and say, hey, let's play some blues. Let's play this. You know, it would be very spontaneous. Because that's the way Woody Allen, who's a big jazz fan, he loved jazz so much. He wanted that feeling on his recordings.
You were great on the Sweet and Lowdown soundtrack.
Sweet and Low was a fun one, yeah. Kenny Popowski was also on that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Of course, a lot with the plot dealing with Django, it's a lot of Howard Alden guitar.
Yeah.
But yeah, Dick makes his home here in our area. And
maybe I get to see Dick and his beautiful, I can't remember his wife's name, but she's beautiful.
Julia.
Lady. Julia.
Yeah.
I love them, man. Beautiful people.
Wonderful people.
Yeah, and you guys are blessed to have them in this area.
That's for sure, and we know it. And
yeah.
I know you've done some recording and things together and on some of those Woody Allen soundtracks.
Yeah, I love me some Dick Hyman, man. And he used to have a festival in Oregon, Festival of American Music, and I used
mm-hmm.
to play that
every
year, too. And so I just love him so much. Yeah.
So when you do you've worked with orchestras all over this hemisphere anyway.
Guess where I worked this last summer? Malaysia, where all this craziness.
No kidding.
Is. Yeah. And then right before the thing happened, then they had a crash, you know. Right. I got booked again, and now my wife doesn't want me to go. Because they had. I said, that was a once-in-a-lifetime thing. So if anybody could call up my wife and tell her that I should take the gig in Malaysia, it's going to be next. Just call her up and tell her, we need this because otherwise we could have your audience send me money for my kids'
mm-hmm.
college education.
Well,
so
that's,
either
we'll,
me go to Malaysia or you guys send in money for my college.
We'll post your address and we'll take
care of it. We don't need to do the address. Let's how about do PayPal.
There you go.
need a piano player for the Malaysia gig?
Yeah.
I've never been to Malaysia.
No, it's beautiful. And you know what? You get to see all these people. You'll see somebody from China standing next to somebody that is Islamic. I'm serious. And then you see like a guy like me, and then you'll see somebody. And
a real crossroads.
Yeah, everybody together. It's really cool. I love Malaysia.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Was that an orchestra thing? Or
that was an orchestra thing, yeah. I love Malaysia. And they love me too.
So can you in a rehearsal
why are you balding up your fist now? That happens to me with everybody. You see, can you?
I was, wasn't I? So you come into an orchestra, some swing more readily than others, and can you make them swing in a 3-hour rehearsal?
Well, the goal for them is not, that's not their goal. The goal is for me to have Kenny. We're going to have Paul Shuchuk there and Kenny and myself there. And the goal is that I have good enough arrangements that they adapt to the jazz feeling through the arrangements. Because
mm-hmm.
you can't do something 23 hours of the day and then do the 24th, hey, I'm going to be jazz. It's not that way. It's actually disrespectful to do that. You know, a lot of times people will try to put, like, I'll need a piano player for an orchestra, and they'll say, well, we got a lady that plays the Messiah every year. Let's get her. And that's disrespect. It happens, you know? And I tell them, no, I want Kenny Drew Jr. And then this is going to provide the improvisational jazz element of it. Then I'm going to have music for you guys. That's where you live,
mm-hmm.
and you'll do, and I'll have that music written in a way that uplifts you. And then we come together, and then things happen. Stop looking at the clock when I talk. That's another thing people do. Every time I talk to them, they look at their watches like I'm boring them. I'm really boring?
No. It happens.
I like to put you on the spot.
You do.
Because you know you're
behind
red.
Me, and we have a couple of minutes. We have 5 minutes.
We have 5 minutes. Okay. Well, I should probably play something because you're tired of hearing me talk.
No. But what do you... What
he doesn't like my playing.
Give me that.
you hear that?
Not. Oh, give me another tune.
Okay.
What do you got? Actually, we have just about 3 minutes or so wrapping up. So,
how about two courses of No One to Walk With, All by Myself, B flat. No one to talk with, but I'm happy on the shelf. Ain't misbehaving, I'm saving my love for you. I know for certain the one I love, I'm through with flirting. It's you that I'm thinking of. Ain't misbehaving, I'm saving my love for you. Yeah, now like Jack Horner, sitting in a corner, I don't go nowhere, and I don't care. All of your kisses are worth waiting for. Believe me, darling. Yeah, I don't stay out late. I don't care to go. I'm home about eight, just me and my radio. Ain't misbehaving, and I'm saving my love for you. Like Jack Horner, he's sitting in a corner. I don't go nowhere, and I don't care. All of your kisses are worth waiting for. Believe me, darling. Yeah, I don't stay out late. I don't care to go. I'm home about eight, just me and my radio. Ain't misbehaving, and I'm saving my love for you. Yeah, I ain't misbehaving. I'm saving all my love for you.
Oh, yeah. If you guys would work together more than once every few months, I think you'd have something going on.
We could have a go on the road.
There you go.
Yeah, and both of us would have our fist balled up all the time.
Byron Stripling is on the road in Florida and just came in today and came in tonight here to All Night Jazz, appearing with Kenny Drew Jr. and the Sarasota Orchestra in the Satchmo Fats and the Duke shows right. Friday and Saturday. This has been such a delight.
Thanks so much for
having
me.
Thank you both for coming
and
in.
It's a pleasure to have one of the great piano players in the world, Kenny Drew Jr.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Without a doubt, and we're very aware of that here in the Bay Area, that Kenny Drew Jr. is a treasure. Byron Stripling, such a treat to have you in tonight. Have a ball in Sarasota and enjoy the weather.
Thanks for having us. We appreciate you.
It's the Pops Concert, Sarasota Pops at the Van Wezel, Friday and Saturday, whatever those dates.
28, 29, and look for purple. Remember, look for purple.
There you go. All Night Jazz is going to continue. I'm Bob Seymour. This has been such a great hour. It's WUSF 89.7, Tampa, St. Petersburg, and Sarasota. Our thanks again to Dustin Hapley, who is behind the controls, and to Rebecca, making it happen from the Sarasota Orchestra. The news is next, and it's All Night Jazz ahead.